praise God for the gifts that he gives his people and that we're able to share them. Last week, we started a new series in the book of Joshua. How many of you have started to read the book of Joshua to kind of see the stories that are in that book? Powerful book. A book that encourages me and invites me to trust God with all that I have. Last week, Pastor Jeff shared the importance of preparation. And part of preparing is to know that God is with us always. He is the one who invites us to be strong and courageous. Because crossing Jordan will not be easy, but it's possible thanks to Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one leading us to the promised land. Some of you might recognize this mount up there on the screen. If you've ever been to Israel, most likely you've gone to visit the city of Jericho. As you can tell, it's a mound. It's called Tel Sultan. And it's surrounded by palms, date palms and all different kinds of palms. It's actually Jericho translated from Hebrew into English. It's the city of palm trees. That's what it translates to. So an area where there's a lot of agriculture, even today. And it's probably one of the places that is visited also after Jerusalem and Bethlehem. This is probably one of the third or fourth places everybody likes to go see, the city of Jericho. The title of today's sermon is Saved to Be to Save. Saved to Save. And as we know something about the city of Jericho, this was a city that was surrounded by what, brothers and sisters? Walls. And if we think of today, the walls that surround our world, by which men and women trust and live by, I believe today we can learn something from this story found in Joshua chapter 2. Because today our walls might not be made out of stone, may not be made out of cement, or brick. But we hear these financial walls that the world is seeing crack. We hear of political walls that have risen, and those are also cracking. We hear of social walls that have gone up, and people have said, okay, we belong to the same country because we have the same language. Or we belong to the same people because we share a common religion. But when we look at our world today, are those walls cracking? They are weak. And the challenges that we are facing today, and the challenges that we will be facing in the near future, are challenges that hit at the core of our being. Challenges that make us sometimes fear and doubt. Is there any way out of this situation? But praise God for Joshua chapter 2. The story of a city called Jericho. And of a person by the name of Rahab. You see, the Bible doesn't just talk about brave men. The Bible also talks about brave what? Women. Brave women. And Joshua chapter 2 shares a powerful story that I think we can apply to today. A story that took place in this area called Jericho. And before we go there, talking about preparation, Joshua chapter 1, if we go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, we see that Joshua wanted to prepare the people as they were looking at crossing Jordan and going into the promised land. And in verse 10, he tells his commanders, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, through the people, the assembly, and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, prepare your supplies, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And as I read these verses, I said, God, it sounds so much like the 10 virgins. They all had their lamps, but they needed what? Oil to supply the light upon those lamps. And there were 5 wise virgins that, what did they do? They filled those lamps with oil and they had extra oil. And there were 5 foolish virgins who forgot to bring any extra oil. And here Jonathan reminding the people, hey, we're crossing over Jordan. It's important that you prepare your supplies. Take enough. We don't know what the situation is going to be like over in the promised land, but we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And the response that these commanders gave Joshua is interesting. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us will we do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. What were they telling Joshua? They were saying, Joshua, we trust you. Whatever you say, we'll do. Wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go. If you tell us to go into Jericho, we're going to go into Jericho. But they did ask one thing of Joshua. And they said the following, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And they finished saying, verse 18, the last verse, only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, what God told you to be strong and courageous, we want you to be obedient to that. And we'll follow you wherever you go. We'll do whatever you tell us to do. But be strong and courageous. I find this interesting, brothers and sisters, because it is true that those who follow a leader will not go farther than that leader goes. And these people knew that if they were going to conquer this new territory called Canaan, if they were going to come in to this new region and live in it, they needed a strong and courageous leader. And the only way this strong and courageous leader could be that is if God was with him. And the people were excited. They were, yes, this time around, we're not going to do what our fathers did. We're not going to doubt. We're going to go in and conquer the land. Joshua, in preparation for this journey into the promised land, verse 1 of chapter 2 tells us, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Jericho, the city of palms. I want to share with you a few pictures here. That's the city right there, north of the Dead Sea. This is the Jordan River that would flow, and at this time of the year, it was flowing with lots of water. And the people of Israel were on the eastern bank, on the eastern side of the Jordan, ready to cross over and conquer. But before that, Joshua said, let's take only 2 people. Do you remember of 2 who had gone in and said, hey, we're ready to conquer the land. You remember their names? Joshua and Caleb. This time he didn't send 12. He said, let's just send 2 of them. And 2 of them went into the region of Canaan and to the city of Jericho. Today we find these are like towers. Now below the earth, they've excavated. Since the 1800s, they've been digging. It's the second most excavated place in the region after Jerusalem. Jericho is the second one that's been visited by archaeologists. And we also have a little diagram, a picture of what these walls might have looked like. One wall here, another one here. It was fortified, well fortified, and people would live in between the walls and close to the walls. And these are some of the excavations that they've done, and they found what I would call retaining walls that could have had these walls then built on top of them. But this is basically some pictures of the area. Today, it's a mound that probably some people think is one of the oldest cities to have ever been excavated. And it's called Tel Sultan today. Sister White talks about this city, the city of Jericho, where this woman lived, Rahab. And this is what she says about Jericho. Jericho was a city devoted to the most extravagant idolatry. The inhabitants were very wealthy. All the riches that God had given them, they accredited to the gifts of their gods. Gold and silver were in abundance. Like people before the flood, they were corrupt and blasphemous. They insulted and provoked the God of heaven by their wicked works. God's judgments awakened against Jericho. The real walls were not those walls of stone. The real walls were the hardening of the heart, to the point that all the blessings that they had received, they attributed to self or to one of these idols that they worshipped. And we might think, no chance for Jericho. No chance for anybody converting from that city. I mean, it looks like doom for them. It's been years since they've been doing this. They're extremely wicked. But God had a person in that city, a woman by the name of Rahab. We know a little bit about her. We know that she had a father and a mother. We know that she had siblings, brothers and sisters that she loved. We know that she would take these two spies into her home, even though they were strangers, even though they looked different, they talked different. She took them into her house. And the other thing we know about Rahab is, what was her profession, brothers and sisters? She was a harlot, a prostitute. I mean, there's no chance God could do something with someone like that. But in her story, I find hope. In her story, brothers and sisters, we find hope. What God has been trying to tell his people for so many years. God can change people. Amen? He can transform people. The gospel has the power to bring down those walls and change people. Sister White tells us, Rahab was a harlot who lived on the wall of Jericho. She hid the two Israelite spies sent to check out the defenses of that city because of her kindness to them and her declaration of belief in God. The spies promised that the lives of Rahab and her family would be spared when the attack came on Jericho. What could she profess to know? I'm so glad the Bible tells us. So I invite you to open your Bibles again to Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to look specifically at verses 8 and forward. You know the story. They came looking for the two spies. Somebody saw them go into her house. The king sent soldiers. She hid them on top of the roof under some stalks of flax. The soldiers left. She told them, you have to wait here a little bit before you leave. I want to ask you a question. And this is starts with verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And verse 9 tells us, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above, and where else? In earth beneath, in earth below. Guys, I know, I've heard about your God. In all my growing up, I had never heard of a God who would care about people. The gods that the Canaanites worshipped, they required, they demanded parents to sacrifice their children. The gods of the Canaanites thought human beings were a nuisance to their God, to their peace in heaven. And this is why they would send rain and thunder and earthquakes to see if human beings would quiet down a little bit. The gods of the Canaanites, they didn't care what was happening with their worshipers. But Rahab had heard about a different God. A God who, yes, lived in heaven, but cared about the people on planet Earth, and specifically cared about these people called Israel. And he had delivered them out of Egypt, and how he had made them cross the Red Sea. And the foot upon which they trotted was dry, and how he fed them for 40 years in the desert with manna, and how they had AC during the day and a heating system during the night as they wandered in that desert. He took care of them. He took care of every need. Their sandals did not wear out. And Rahab purposed in her heart, I want to know that God. I want to trust that kind of a God. I want to believe in that God that you claim to have. I'm sure these two spies were like, whoa, we didn't think there was anybody here who wanted to hear about our God. We didn't think there was anybody who was interested in being part of our nation, of our family. But I guess there's somebody here. And so they made a deal. They made a contract, a promise to each other. And the two spies said, okay, you take care of us. Don't tell anybody that we've come to spy the city of Jericho. The rope by which we're going to go down tonight, because we can't go out the gate, the front gate, they're looking for us. But the rope that we're going to go down, you're going to keep that in your window. And I'm going to ask you something. Your family, they all have to be in this house. Because anybody who's outside of this house, they're going to die. That's our mission. We're here to destroy. We're here to bring judgment upon the city of Jericho because of all their wickedness. But whoever's inside this house, they will be saved. And if anybody, Rahab, we promise you, if anybody touches anybody who's inside your house, we'll respond with our own life. That's a covenant. That's a promise. And the Bible tells us that these men left and they went back to report to Joshua what we find in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Sister White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 369, in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, a knowledge of the power of God spread far and wide. The warlike people of the stronghold of Jericho trembled. As soon as we have heard these things, said Rahab, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Christ's object lesson tells us the following. The children of Israel were to occupy all the territory which God appointed them. Those nations that rejected the worship and service of the true God were to be dispossessed. But it was God's purpose that by the revelation of his character through Israel, men should be drawn unto him. To all the world, the gospel invitation was to be given. All who, like Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabitess, turned from idolatry to the worship of the true God, were to unite themselves with his chosen people. As the number of Israel increased, they were to enlarge their borders until their kingdom should embrace the world. So the mission of Israel was not just to destroy, was it? It was also to do what, brothers and sisters? To redeem people, to invite them into a relationship with their God. As they performed the sanctuary service, as they sacrificed the lamb, they would point people to the coming Messiah, who was the only one who could deliver each one of them from their sins. Rahab accepted that message. She said, I'm going to hang this crimson cord, this red cord. And I want to say that cord represents who, brothers and sisters? Jesus, his sacrifice on our behalf. She gave witness of her new faith in God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. And did she keep this message to herself? She said, I'm so glad I know about this. I'm so glad I know what's going to happen. In 3 days, they're going to come, surround the city, destroy it, take everything away, burn it up. I'm so glad I know that I'm going to be saved. Did she keep this message to herself? No. She said, Dad, Mom, you guys got to come over. Rahab, what do you mean come over? Your apartment is really tiny. You got to come over. You can't stay home. You have to live with us for the next few days. Something bad's going to happen soon. What do you mean something bad's going to happen? Yeah, you've heard about the Israelites, right? They're just over Jordan. You heard what they did to the kings there. Yeah, we did hear about that, but they have to cross this big river, and there's a lot of water. There's no way they're going to make it over. And besides, we have these huge walls. They protect us from everything, remember? No, Dad and Mom, this is serious. These walls, they're not going to help us anymore. And Dad and Mom saw the conviction which he shared this story, and they must have noticed something different about Rahab. She wasn't the same anymore. She wasn't just looking out for herself. She wasn't just looking to attract people. It wasn't about herself anymore. And she said, well, where are my brothers and sisters? Oh, they're home. They're still working. They're still doing their thing. Tell them they need to come. There's no time to waste. And she went out and told, I want to save family. And probably she shared this with some of her friends. And I'm thinking that her friends probably looked at her and said, Rahab, you're crazy. Nothing bad's going to happen. Yeah, we've heard about the Israelites. Yeah, it's scary stuff, but they're way over there on the other side of Jordan. I mean, if something's going to happen, we'll have time to prepare. We'll have time to figure things out. But Rahab said, no, there's no time. In fact, anyone who wants to be saved, they need to come to my house. And we find out, brothers and sisters, that Rahab was not afraid to share the good news. Amen? Is that something we're supposed to do today? That's something we're supposed to do. And as Pastor Jeff mentioned, in two Sabbaths, Sabbath October 18, we want to do a workshop here at our church where we're inviting all the leaders that are part of a ministry. We want to invite all those who are part of a ministry. We want to invite all members to come out. And we want to share with you how you can share the good news with those within your household, with those who live right next to you. We want to start praying for them. Amen? We want to start sharing with them. And some of you might think, Pastor Sam, I'm really shy about talking and sharing with somebody. You know, that's not my thing. You don't have to say something. You just have to live like someone. Amen? Jesus is the one who will show you how to do it. I don't know how he showed Rahab how to convince his parents and siblings, but somehow they ended up all in her, I want to say, one-bedroom apartment right next to the wall. They all were there. We don't know why we're here, but we're going to stick it out for the next 2-3 days. What happens? And we're invited to do the same thing. Are there walls out there, brothers and sisters? There are walls out there. Are people afraid? They are afraid. Is there fear in the air? There's fear in the air. The news don't help much. But praise God for good news. Jesus is coming again, and we want to be ready. Not tomorrow, but today. We need to be ready. We need to have our supplies ready. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts, our minds, put things that are important in front of us. And so as a church, we want to take the time to share with you on Sabbath, October 18, and on Sunday, October 19, some of us will be going to the San Marcos STA Church, where other churches that are also doing Full Circle will be joining us, and we'll be sharing with each other experiences as to how we can share with our neighbors, with our family, the good news that Jesus is coming soon. Rahab believed these two spies. I don't know what it was. I don't know what they said. They were different. And their God was so different from her gods. But what amazes me the most, brothers and sisters, and maybe I'll close with this, what amazes me the most is that Rahab was called at a very special moment in her life, not only to make a decision that would save her from the coming destruction, but it would save her family, her parents, her siblings. And she would also be part of the plan of salvation for you and for me. Amen. See, the other place in Scripture where you find the name Rahab, in Joshua chapter 2, where she's mentioned as the prostitute, and in Hebrews chapter 11, she's called the woman of faith. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, you find her in Jesus' own genealogy. Amen. She was the grandmother or great-grandmother of David and the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Can we say amen?
Amen.
A decision. One decision. Do I trust this God who doesn't only rule in the heavens, but also rules upon the earth? And she decided to put all of her trust in that God. We today are invited to do the same. And God is calling each one of us to share the good news. Time is coming to an end. We see the signs. And we are invited to trust the same God who rules the heaven and the earth. Do you want to trust him, brothers and sisters? Do we want to follow Rahab's example? We want to follow Rahab's example. And I know that soon, together with many others, inviting them to this place, inviting them to our home, as a witness, the world will know that Jesus is coming soon. Amen.